we're not just in economic debt, we're in huge, huge ecological debt. Unless we bring those two things together, we'll never really understand what's happening. And I don't think many people do.
You know, we have to train up a generation. They have to, in many ways, go through not just the uptimes but the downtimes to gain some resilience and some saving skills and not just spending skills. And I think some of the messages about, ignore the economics and spend is not healthy for a generation that, where that's the only message or experience they've ever had.
Yeah, I lost my job about 8 months ago very suddenly and suddenly realised within a week I needed to sell my house and reduce my overheads enormously. I was living a very comfortable life with my family and so I put the house on the market and moved out of town. And it's been fantastic in the end. It was a great shock at the time, but having to be very aware of where your money went and the mortgage and everything else, ultimately I've been able to teach my children so much more about wasting water, about electricity, about the important things of life. We grow our own vegetables. I think in the end it's been the best thing that ever happened to us.
Mate, lower North Shore, hedonistic background. We've had to cancel overseas trips, regret having bought the car last year.
First to go with things like meals out in restaurants, taxis, trips to the hairdresser, sort of anything that people wouldn't have thought twice about previously when they had money coming in.
My theory is decadence is dead.
Dead? Well, for some people, perhaps just taking a holiday. Voices from a recent Australia Talks conversation on how people are coping with the economic downturn and our uncertain future. In the UK, the Brown government is so concerned about the personal effects of the downturn that they're now reportedly spending £13 million, that's around $19 million US and $27 million Australian dollars, on efforts to fast-track a previously announced program of therapy services for the depressed and the anxious. But for all those who need government assistance, there are others, like the people we've just heard, who believe a big part of the solution is to tighten their own belt and downgrade their lifestyle. Being frugal, it seems, is now becoming popular, even in that bastion of consumerism, the United States.
There are lots of people online, it turns out, I went looking for this, who are blogging about ways to save money during the recession. But it turns out that their purpose is deeper than sort of offering tips about saving money and how to deal with, getting laid off or getting fired or losing your job. They also kind of offer a new philosophy for living, or what in America is a new philosophy, at least compared to how people have been living, which is that you should sort of cut down on the amount on your consumption, on how much you're consuming, how much you're spending, and you should kind of live at the minimum. Spend less and live life sort of more fully while spending less money and consuming fewer resources. So I would say that's the frugal movement, and people are writing about how they're doing that and kind of how they're going about trying to live up to that philosophy.
That's Farhad Manju. He's a columnist for Slate.com and the author of a book called True Enough, Learning to Live in a Post-Fact Society. He's been researching the growth in so-called frugal blogs, and he says such blogs aren't just about teaching people new ways to save money. Frugal bloggers draw a distinction between being frugal and being cheap.
Let me mention some of the sites. Wisebread.com is one of them, and if you go there, you'll find links to a bunch of other ones. One of my favorites was one called Frugal Dad, which chronicles the life of a father who's trying to provide for his family while being frugal. And I think it was on his site where I saw this distinction between being cheap and being frugal. And a good way to think about it is that a cheap person doesn't sort of consider the full ramifications of his consumption and will consume things just because the price tag is low, but might not consider, say, the environment or other damages of that product. A frugal person will consider kind of the full picture and will consider whether he needs the item also, rather than just purchasing it because it's cheap. So a good analogy or a good example is that if you eat at McDonald's, that's cheap. If you sort of make a home-cooked meal for your family and eat the leftovers the next day, that's frugal.
Is it possible to know whether more of these frugal blogs have sprung up in recent months with the worsening economic climate in the US? I presume some of them have been around for a while.
I think that the recession has definitely focused people on their wallets and on saving money. And I think that a good way to talk about this major change in your life is to blog about it. So there aren't any kind of quantitative ways to measure this to see, you know, to actually measure whether there are more people blogging about this. But as far as I could tell, there seem to be a lot of new blogs on this subject. Many of these people talk about not just themselves, but about the country at large and society at large and how people should sort of consider what they're spending on and change their entire philosophy about money. So they're proselytizing, I would say. They are trying to get other people to join the movement.
Now, over the last 10 years, we've seen a huge growth in the number of websites and blogs offering all sorts of consumer advice. How are these sorts of blogs different from those?
For a while, there's been this movement online or this group of websites around this subject called life hacking. And this is kind of an engineering term, or it's attracted engineers or people who are kind of technical. And they offer tips and try to make their lives more efficient. So there's a great site called Lifehacker, which is a blog that offers little tips to make your computer more efficient and to make you more energized and offer tips to get through the day easier and faster. The frugal movement, I think, borrows a lot of its style from the life hacker movement in that they offer small tips that are easy to do, that are welcoming to the movement. It makes the movement accessible. And once you start doing those small things, I think you can join the larger philosophy of being frugal.
Now, as you say, you know, people take them very seriously, but do you find that some of the sites are intentionally humorous, or do you find some of the people who respond to the sites respond in a humorous fashion?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that these sites are definitely fun to read, even if you're not trying to save money. And the reason I started reading them was because, like everyone in this country and perhaps the world, you know, I'm nervous about what's going on in the economy and nervous about sort of future of my job and other people's jobs around me. And you read these sites, I think, kind of as preparation, because no one sort of knows what the future holds. And it's possible that things will go badly for me or for anyone I know. And it's good to know what to do if you get laid off. There's one site that, has specific advice about things you should do, how to get your finances in order, if you expect to be laid off, if you have just gotten laid off. This is all very sort of practical, useful advice for people. And I think that, I started reading it because of that, just kind of to know what to do. And beyond that, though, I found some of the advice very entertaining and interesting.
And what if the future becomes rosy? I know it doesn't look like it at the moment. It looks, everything around us is doom and gloom. But, you know, could these frugality blogs, could they survive good economic times?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. They want people to live frugally even in good times. I think they argue, many of them argue, that it's not sort of just out of necessity that you should do this, but also because it's sort of spiritually good for you to live without being wasteful. So I think they would hope that people continue to read them and continue to follow them if at some point the tide turns. And we'll see what happens, I guess. I don't know if, I'm sure that people are more interested in these sites now than they would be if everything was going extremely well. But I guess we'll see whether people continue with this lifestyle.
Okay, now let's get some perspective from a frugal blogger herself, though she prefers to use the term simple living blogger. Rhonda Hetzel has a very popular blog called Down to Earth, and though she's based in the small Queensland town of Landsborough, her reach stretches right across the world.
I started off just by trying to work out ways of saving money by not shopping so much and shopping in a different way. That took me online to a place called Frugal Village, which is a great big American site, and I eventually became an administrator there. They focused mainly on frugality, and my concern then was not just with saving money, it was more that I wanted to develop myself through being at home. I wanted to grow vegetables, I wanted to collect eggs, I wanted to be enriched by being at home and by creating a lifestyle that I wanted to live. So I left Frugal Village and I kept on looking online, and because I'm a writer, I started writing it all down. I had the beginnings of a book. pitched it to some publishers and no one wanted it. So I decided to turn it into a blog because I thought that I had a story to tell. I thought that it was an unusual story and something that other people might be able to try themselves because it just made me so happy. I'm happier now than I've ever been.
And am I right in saying that the blog's been so successful that you have a publisher actually looking at a potential book deal?
Well, that's almost correct. I've had a New York agent contact me and they want to represent me with the view to selling the book, which we're in the process of doing now.
For people who haven't read your blog, can you give us a sense of the sort of things that you write about?
Well, I just write about how I live, really. I live in the Sunshine Coast hinterland. We have about an acre of land. We've got chooks in the backyard. We grow vegetables. I do voluntary work so I can give back to my community. We bake bread here. We make our own jams. We do some preserving. You know, we do as much for ourselves as we can. And we've tried to regain our independence back because I think that many Australian people are dependent on shops to help them live and I don't want to be like that anymore.
So you are trying to encourage other people to lead a simple life through example rather than preaching at them, I suppose.
Yes, well, I don't want to preach. I think that you don't get anywhere there if you do preach. What I'm trying to do is just to say to people, this is an alternative life that is working. And if it works for me, it might work for you too. And I hope that I do not preach that. I hope it just comes over in a very genuine and caring way.
Well, your blog seems to generate a lot of comments. Can
Yes.
you tell us about the sorts of people who read your blog and where they're from?
Well, mainly they're from America, but they're also from Australia, all over Australia, and England, Canada, Spain, Portugal, Croatia. You name it, I think they come there.
Did that surprise you that you ended up with such an international audience?
Oh, totally. And it also surprised me that it was so popular because I've had almost 1.5 million hits and I never in my wildest dreams thought that that would happen. I thought that, you know, it would create some interest, but I thought that it would be, you know, just interest from people around who thought that they might have, you know, been able to do the same thing. I never thought that it would be such an international hit.
And do you get feedback from people across the world who've tried what you've suggested or tried to do what you're doing? Do you get that kind of that sort of feedback from them?
Yes, I get a lot of feedback from people who are taking those very small steps towards changing their lives and that it's working for them. Or sometimes they say it isn't and what am I doing wrong? Can you help me? So we just try and work through it together and, you know, it's a gentle and flexible way of life and there's no right way of doing it. You just have to do it to suit yourself, but at the same time doing as much for yourself as you can.
Now, it seems to me from looking at your blog that pictures are very important. You obviously put a lot of time into the images that you put online.
Well, I don't put a lot of time into them. I just take them as I think of them. I put an apron on in the morning and I walk around with a digital camera in my apron pocket. And if something happens that I think might be interesting, I take a photo of it and then that usually makes it onto the blog. But, yes, what I think myself when I'm reading other blogs is that, well, A, it's much more interesting if you can see a little bit into their life with a picture, and it also sort of confirms that I'm really doing what I'm talking about and I'm not just, well, lying. I mean, how many people lie on the internet? I'm just trying to make the experience a genuine one for people that they look at it and they think, yes, she is really doing that.
As well as your own blog, you're also a contributor to another cooperative blog called Simple Green Frugal. How does that differ from your own personal blog?
Well, I started that because I wanted to build the community of writers that I was becoming involved with through my blog. A lot of them are writing about similar things that I'm writing about, but they see it from a different angle because they're a different age, they're in a different country. You know, we've got men writing there. So I approached a whole lot of people that I admired through their blogs and I just asked if they wanted to join and everyone jumped at the chance. So it's now a writers' cooperative and we try and have something there every day but it's from all over the world.
Do you think this is a bit of a trend, a bit of a movement for a more simple life that's going on?
Yes, I think there is a movement towards simplicity. I think that it's been accelerated by the financial crisis that we're going through at the moment. But I really think that the people who are genuine and who really get a lot out of it will stick with it even when times are good again. So, I mean, the simplicity movement has been around for many years and it has peaks and troughs. I think that this is a really good time to discover a simple life. And if it takes a crisis to get people there, hopefully they see the goodness of it and don't leave it when times are better again.
Well, Rhonda Hetzel, thank you very much and good luck with your blog.
Thank you very much.